This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
And right now it's time for the Pinstripe Report, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. And we welcome in Senior Vice President and General Manager of the New York Yankees, Brian Cashman. Brian, it's Michael and Peter. How you doing today?
Mark, guys, how you doing?
We're doing okay. The Cole situation with the COVID, has it spread any further on your team?
We have Jordan Montgomery is now confirmed COVID positive as well. So that takes two starters down. So we'll continue to work through, figuring out how to replace those guys. So tonight, Luis Hill takes the mound. We'll have a few other roster moves to backfill, and then we'll figure out what's next. Because now, but those are two with COVID, and then just remind everybody, Herman went on the IL right after his Miami start, so we're essentially going to be down three starters out of the rotation as we move forward here over the coming 10 days, 2 weeks. So we'll see how that plays out, and but we'll fight through it and continue to show up every day and find a way to win that day's game.
Now, Brian, obviously pitchers are very cliquish. They hang together. They sit on the bench together. Is there a concern that others might have it too and it might show up in a test?
I mean, it's certainly, plausible. Obviously, we swung through Tampa. We were there on an off day Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in Tampa. So a three-game set over a four-day period. And then we went on to Miami for the weekend. And we know that Florida is obviously, I'm not saying it happened in Florida, but it's plausible to think that, somehow it started coming out of there. And then the team flies up here to, so we were a week in the state of Florida and we're back up here now. But COVID's actually, obviously spreading throughout the country and the world with the Delta variant. We are one of many dealing with that, whether it's in the professional baseball world or your everyday walk of life world. So, we're just going to adjust on the run as required and figure it out.
Are you happy with the way your players have comported themselves and have they been safe? Because you've had a lot of COVID outbreaks on this team, Brian.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, we're one of the very first teams to get the 85%. I think our player population and our staff population, I think did the smart and right thing. And by being vaccinated, you're obviously protecting yourself with a guarantee of not getting, severely ill, hospitalized, or, potential death because, you chose to go down the avenue of getting vaccinated. So, we reached the over 85% mark, and that doesn't prevent you from having the breakthrough, but the breakthrough obviously is, you're going to be just limited to, the experience of cold-like symptoms or a light flu but nothing severe, at least as they tell us. And so I think that's obviously been a wise choice. And so our players ultimately's health, will be protected for that. And for that, we're thankful, but you're always told when you're getting vaccinated that doesn't prevent you from getting COVID. It's just going to limit its ability to affect you in a horrific way.
All right, so Cole and Monty, were they breakthrough cases, Brian?
Yeah. They'll be protected because of that, but it doesn't mean that, we can have them active despite that. So right now they get taken off the board, and they'll be shut down for 10 days. And, obviously, hopefully their symptoms will be small and quick, and as in most cases it seemed to be, and they'll they'll be protected, and we'll get them back when appropriate.
Brian, your manager uses this phrase a lot, gut punch. Are you concerned how many gut punches this team could take? I mean, it's one after the other, one bad thing after the other. I mean, you have to be pretty resilient to deal with it. Are you convinced that this team is going to, losing your ace who was supposed to start today, that's a big deal. Montgomery's been one of your best pitchers. That's a big deal. Are you worried about how your team's going to respond?
No, I think whoever gets the opportunity to compete, on any given day, whether it's giving somebody a rest day or we lose somebody doing an injury or whatever, whoever gets that opportunity to replace that individual, for instance, they're going to give everything they got. They're in the big leagues for a reason. They have an opportunity to help us win. We've got a lot of talent spread throughout that roster, and we feel that even losing quality people. That happens on a daily basis. So it's, you know, we're no different than any other team in that capacity. The game's going to continue. The roster and the schedule is going to continue to roll and do everything in our power to compete on a daily basis for that W. And so the mission is not going to change. You know, gut punches happen all the time. You know, so we just deal with it, roll with it.
All right, so a couple of questions let me reel off to you. Are you surprised at DJ LeMahieu and the struggles that he's had this year? 245 with runners in scoring position, and he was almost automatic the first 2 years. What do you think is going on there?
I don't have a specific. I mean, I think DJ, along with a number of different guys, it's a collective of our player talent. You know, we exited spring training with two areas of strengths, which is our offense that you could in theory count on, and your bullpen, which in theory you can count on, and both have been challenges for us this year, whether it was via injury or underperformance by, you know, the collective. And so that's, you know, obviously made this season a lot more challenging and unexpected. And so we've tried to address that to the best of our abilities here as we navigated the more recent trade deadline. And you know, those guys are, you know, fighting, you know, to the best of their abilities and doing, you know, everything they possibly can. But you know, DJ LeMahieu, along with a lot of guys you can point to, have, you know, struggled at times to be what they're normally are. But the character, the person, the competitive nature, the effort, that's not ever been in question, you know. But you know, in baseball, you know, you can obviously have some tough runs from the greatest players that you have. And we've had experiences there with a lot of these guys. And, you know, that's the beauty of the game, and that's the difficulty of the game too.
One of the questions that a lot of our listeners keep asking, so let me ask you, you even said it after the trade deadline, that Brett Gardner's your center fielder. You have a guy who has shown that he can play a little bit in Greg Allen, switch hitter with speed, can play defense. Why are you so dedicated to running Gardner out there when he has obviously struggled below what he's done in the past?
Well, he's the best option. You know, the roster that we have, you know, when asked that question, who's going to play center field, is Brett Gardner, because he's the best option to do so on this roster. We certainly looked at trying to pursue a lot of different avenues to improve this overall strength of the roster and provide Aaron Judge the best Aaron Boone the best available choices he can possibly have, you know, which materialized in a Rizzo, a Gallo, you know, the two relievers, Clay Holmes and, you know, Jolie Rodriguez, and, you know, a new starter in Heaney. And so those, you know, and prior to that, earlier in the year, an Odor acquisition at the end of spring training. But for the most part, you know, those are the results of our efforts. There's a ton of efforts that, you know, did not materialize and things, but it didn't mean we didn't push in those arenas to the best of our abilities. So Aaron, Brett Gardner is the best center field option that we have.
So even more than Greg Allen, obviously.
Yeah, I think so. I think I think Aaron Boone has a choice on a daily basis right now, whether it's, who do I play? You saw in Miami, he lined up with Judge in center. You'll see Gardner. I think Allen, the last I remember, I think was going to be in there tonight. So I just think it's something he'll decide on a daily basis, what's my best alignment, and then go that route.
I'm really curious, Brian. We're talking about Brian Cashman, senior VP and the general manager of the Yankees. Stanton, you know, he played the outfield twice in Miami and played right field yesterday. No problems at all. He seems comfortable. But leading up to that, you know, Aaron Boone kept saying, well, you know, we're building him up. Well, I mean, he looks like he's in incredible physical shape. So is there something fundamentally wrong with his legs that he'd have to be built up to play the outfield, Brian? He always did that when he was with the Marlins. So what exactly is wrong with Giancarlo that he's not an everyday outfielder?
Well, essentially he's had that health history, you know, that, you know, the various degrees of muscle pulls, you know, for whatever reason, certainly worked through that to the best of our abilities to try to come up with the best, game plan that would serve him well. But once we've been in season, you know, for people who don't know behind the scenes, there's a defensive progression that you typically, you know, come out of spring training with. So you start the back of February to get to the end of March, and you don't see, you know, you drop your everyday position player, whether it's a shortstop, a center fielder, a right fielder, whoever, first base. It doesn't matter what position, they're not going to be game one of spring training, February 27th, they're going to play. They're not going to play seven straight innings on game one. They usually play three or four innings, get one or two at bats tops, and they're out. And then, you know, the second team comes in and finishes out, and then the third team behind that finishes out, and you wind up having a huge, you know, amount of substitutions the first half of spring training that leads you through, like, March 15th. And so it's a week-on-week progression of, all right, four innings of defense, then it's like, you know, over the first week, every other day, and then you get them up to five innings of defense. And it's not stand related; it's just position player related to get their legs underneath them, and it's a buildup. And so, ultimately, when Booney's describing that we're preparing to get him game ready for the outfield, for instance, whether it was recently in Fenway Park or on the road trip to Miami in the National League ballpark, it takes time, you know, work behind the scenes that you can't do in game when he's DHing, to try to do a lot of pregame stuff to get his legs underneath him so they can, you know, withstand, you know, the rigors of obviously play. So it's a kind of like a mini spring training in season. So, and if you don't use it, you lose it. And he hasn't been put in that position. And so, therefore, it's going to take time to safely and carefully take him out. As you recall, when we left spring training, we had a lot more outfield depth, whether it was Aaron Hicks or Tauchman, or amongst others, that were able to do a lot of things. And that outfield, insurance policies have obviously been limited now. It's forced us to be in a position where, you know, to consider him out in the outfield and stuff like that. So you have to protect him by building him up.
It also kind of puts Boone in a little bit of a corner, because you'd like to give Judge the half day off like you did yesterday. So I'm wondering, Brian, and maybe this is an unfair question, but I'll ask it anyway. If you knew this was going to be Stanton when you made the trade, that he's going to be exclusively a DH, would you have done it?
Well, when I traded for him, you know, I traded for him with the thought plot process of him and Judge, you know, sharing a lot of time between right field and DH to protect them both. It just hasn't worked out that way, you know, over the course of time. And then certainly injuries have played a part in Stanton. So, you know, that's just a fact. So, you know, we acquired someone who's, you know, obviously riding high, is a prolific hitter. And when he's healthy, and especially when he's locked in, like we've seen, he goes on some pretty terrifying runs for the opposing pitchers that they won't be able to navigate them. But, you know, at times, clearly we've had some injuries that have hit, and clearly we've had some stretches, you know, like these, you know, great home run hitters have, where they struggle too. So, but you know, in terms of going back, hey, you know, if you're specifically answering whether I regret trading for him or not, I'm not going to answer questions like that. I mean, he's a Yankee. He's obviously one of many really talented players that we're hoping to get the most out of as we compete for a championship effort every year. And when he's locked in, like we saw he was in the postseason last year, he can carry a team past any pitcher that happens to be on the mound. And so obviously, you know, when you have locked in on that best version of himself, you know, you wouldn't want anybody, you know, different in the batter's box when he's locked in. So we're just trying to tap into that as much as we can.
All right. So the acquisition of Rizzo, I mean, a championship caliber player, Gallo, a legitimate power hitter, great defender. Where does that leave Voit when he's healthy, Brian? Is he just the pinch hitter?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Well, I think he's healthy right now. He's now just knocking off rust. He's, you know, unfortunately been a victim of three different injuries this year. You know, one with the knee scope and towards the end of spring training. Then he came back with a rib cage when he barely got back. And then he obviously got a bone bruise, so, and I might have revert, you know, he's had three different versions of injuries, so I might have messed that sequence up. But ultimately, now that he's back, he is, I'm happy to say, a healthy player, but there's now an opportunity for him to go get some at-bats and knock the rust off. Because I kind of liken it to an NFL starting quarterback that got hurt in the first week of this NFL season. By the time he got back in week 9, 10, 11, whatever it was, you know, the position's no longer there because somebody else has taken it, whether it was internal or external. And so doesn't change the tremendous player that Luke Voit is, doesn't change the abilities that he has. He can mash, he can take a walk. But right now, the opportunity or the lane for him, the obvious opportunity, the obvious lane for him to be there as a contributing member of this lineup or even off the bench doesn't exist. So he's going to go on a rehab assignment, and doesn't mean in the future it won't materialize it, that it won't all of a sudden develop over the course of time. But in the meantime, he's, you know, on a rehab assignment for Scranton that starts tonight. And I know what he'll do. He'll go mash because he's a professional, really good hitter. And ultimately, he got caught up into something that, you know, is my job is to try to find ways to improve our club. You know, I took an opportunity that presented itself that we pursued, and I pursued in Rizzo. And I'm happy we did because I feel like it's going to give us a better chance right now. But he, unfortunately, by no fault of his own other than the injuries that took him offline, you know, he's now ready to kind of contribute once the rust is knocked off, and it's just not an opportunity that exists currently, but it doesn't mean one won't develop over the course of time, whether it's coming off the bench as a pinch hitter, whether it's, you know, manning an everyday position that right now doesn't exist but might materialize later on due to injuries, which nobody hopes for. Just we'll have to wait and see. But in the meantime, you know, let him do his rehab assignment and play the season. Now, you're already seeing, since the deadline now, we're already dealing with a COVID outbreak.
Right.
That was unanticipated. So, you know, lightning strikes in a lot of different places in a lot of different ways. So no one wants negative to hit. But what you do want is have as many insurance policies lined up. And I'm not certainly calling Luke Voit an insurance policy, but he's certainly waiting for an opportunity to present itself, though, unfortunately, from his perspective.
Brian Cashman is our guest here on the Michael K. Show. Brian, you know, I've known you over 30 years. You're one of the shrewdest, smartest people. I don't know how much you let outside noise into your head, but I wonder if you know, Yankee fans hate the fact that this is an analytic-driven team. They hate it. They hate the home runs and the strikeouts and things like that. What do you say to the people that call in every day and drive me nuts asking me why, because I'm not making these decisions? What do you say to these people about analytics and a team that's built on home runs and doesn't seem like it minds strikeouts all that much?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're a victim of you know, a false narrative. I mean, I don't know why, you know, you can watch the Tampa Bay Rays compete against the Los Angeles Dodgers in the World Series last year, and they're more analytical than we are. And yet we're victimized by being too analytical. So, you know, every team in this sport except for a very small few and a small few that aren't analytical or using that tool in that toolbox. It's not the only primary tool, but is a certainly important tool to use for information and decision making. And so, you know, it's just to me a naive false narrative that people throw that really just throw it because they're angry. And the ultimate reasons behind it all is that when you're winning, you know, it's a great play. You know, everything you're doing is great. You're smart. You know, you're flying high, and bouquets are going to flow your way. And when you're not living up to your expectations, then you obviously have the slings and arrows of the reasons why. And so right now, because this team is underperformed, it's because of analytics. Even though, you know, so you say the strikeouts. I mean, the team leading our division happens to be the same team that went to the World Series last year that happened to strike out a heck of a lot more than our current team does at all. Mm-hmm. But yet no one cares to speak to that. You know, it's just because it doesn't fit the narrative. It's just a more of an emotional, angry outburst. Analytics are used here, but it's not the end-all and be-all, and it's not the governor that drives every decision that people think. And it doesn't matter if you get Aaron Boone on the phone to deny that he does his lineups from the front office, because he doesn't. He does his lineups from his chair, and you can get Joe Girardi, the prior manager, or Joe Torre, the prior manager before that, and there's not one of those guys could say they were directed to play a guy and ordered to play a lineup. It's never happened, and I've been the same general manager every step of the way. But again, none of that's going to matter. The only thing that matters is if we win, and if we win, everybody's happy. And if we lose, then all things are under review, and some of it's going to be guilty as charged and accurate, but there's a lot of things people don't know, and they just kind of fall in line with whatever the comfortable narrative happens to be at that moment in time, and even if it's not an accurate one. So, but I definitely utilize analytics here, just like all the smart organizations do, to help obviously navigate what the best decisions can be. It's certainly part of it, and I'm certainly not ashamed to admit that. But it being our driver of everything, I think that's more of an offensive
comment that anybody, you know, that you would want to interview, whether it's a field manager or one of our coaching staff or player development, all those guys, I think, you know, our pro scouts that are running around, I think you can get a lot of them on there and would tell you the same thing. Yeah, it's certainly something we utilize and fall upon, just like all the good organizations do, but it's not our driver. So now, it's certainly part of it, though.
On MLB Network Radio over the weekend, you were very forthright and said, you know, we send down a perfect lineup, and then it's up to Aaron to do what he wants with it. But, you know, Aaron works.
I wouldn't say – I actually never would say a perfect lineup. We had a system in place.
Okay.
And I hire, for instance, our manager. I want someone that's going to work, right? I want someone that's going to do all the work necessary to lead to the best decisions they possibly can. And I've seen a lot of people around the game that don't do the work. They show up, they cut corners, they, they play the part in theory, but they don't really work the part. But obviously, under the George Steinbrenner regime and now Hal Steinbrenner regime and the Yankee regime, I think the Yankee fan would want, you know, someone that is intense and works their tail off. And, you know, and so that does everything behind the scenes necessary before they make their final decisions. That means accounting for the player personnel and their personalities. What's the medical side, where they're sitting at currently? Is there anything physically bothering them? Do I need to back off or not? There is a manager tool in our base system, we call it, where he can look at, all right, who's tonight's starter? What's the optimal lineup that this system says to play against that? Let me look at that. Let me measure about all the personal interactions I have, what the medical staff says also about who we need to back off of, who's a player today, who's actually not a disabled list player or an injured list player, but an active player, but we need to actually protect. So I'm going to back off of that guy because something's bothering him, or he showed up with this, that, or the other thing. And he continues to work through all that stuff, which is a lot of work. And then you line up the best lineup from that. And that's his decision. That's solely his decision. He doesn't clear it through me. A lot of times, like this morning, hey, what are you doing tonight? And he'll tell me. And that's it. You know, it's not, and I wasn't part of his decision lineup. He goes to bed the night before sitting with his staff after a game, whether it's a win or a loss, working through a formulation. So he stays here later in the ballpark with his coaching staff, and they work through what do you think tomorrow? And he checks with his trainers and the strength coaches, as well as, you know, the data and all that stuff. And he formulates what he thinks is best based on that. And that's all I want. I want someone that will work the information and stay connected to his players and then come up with the best avenue. That's it. And then I support it 110%. As long as you're doing the work, then you're never going to have a problem with me.
All right, before the road trip, Brian, I mean, the Yankees really struggled for a bit and looked like it was going to be a tough time to make the playoffs. Now it looks, you know, like it's certainly in sight. But was there ever a point, Brian, where you were concerned that your job or Aaron's job was on the line?
Do I worry about my job? No, I worry about doing my job, and then the rest will take care of itself. And so I don't daydream about the alternative. So, you know, all I know is I have a great opportunity to do the job I'm doing, and certainly would love to do it as long as I possibly can earn to do that. And then that type of decision is not in my control. So no, I don't think through that. I do know I love competing. I love obviously being a part of some, you know, a system where you try to find a way to navigate and beat your opponents and wind up, you know, being on top. And, you know, I've been to the promised land. I've been obviously far enough through the playoffs. I've been disappointed that you got knocked out early or not knocked out late in the postseason, but every year for the most part it's been postseason. So I love the fight. I love the competition. But I don't immerse myself in things. The one thing that experience does bring to me, I used to deal with overly stressing over whether we would play a game on a given day because of a weather report that's coming in. Will we, won't we, what do you do, how do you manage this? And then ultimately it's at some point experience just starts to allow you to realize what's in your control. That's the stuff you can worry about. The stuff that's not in your control, you can't spend time dealing with that stuff. It's wasted energy. It's wasted stress levels. There's enough going on that you need to deal with that obviously you're in the middle of, that your hands are upon or you're touching or controlling to some degree. But the areas that you're speaking to, whether I remain in a position moving forward or not, that's not my area of control. So it's not something I have any you know, time to think through, because it's just wasted energy. Somebody else will make that decision, and whatever they do, they'll make it. And
right, did you ever have any thought about changing managers just to change the mojo? Was that ever a consideration?
No, I don't believe in that. I've never believed in that. I'm really proud of the fact that for all my life in this game, I've never had any in-season changes on the coach, you know, hitting, pitching, you know, whatever, or a manager. And there's been obviously very difficult times, but I feel like we're all in alignment. We're all in this together. And I've never felt comfortable, you know, all of a sudden shining a light on somebody and saying, well, you're the reason why we're struggling. Not me, not we, but you. That's to me a cop out. It doesn't mean that it could be in play in other arenas that it was an appropriate move for a different scenario, whether it's a different sport, whether it's baseball. So I'm not critical of others who've pulled that lever, but I've never been in the position to I would pull the lever if I felt that this person is a problem, then I'd do it. But I have not come across that scenario yet. And I am proud that I think the easy thing for a person in my chair is to do is, you know what, for protection purposes, I'm going to throw this person overboard, you know, to protect me a little bit more. We need the sacrificial lamb, our fan base, which I understand has been frustrated at times when we're losing, you know, when we should be winning more. And, you know, all of a sudden it's so easy to all of a sudden just off with your head and throw a sacrificial lamb somewhere else to displace blame. But I don't believe in that. I would if it was warranted, but I have not in any of these years come across that scenario yet. I'm not going to be pushed into a public relations, just do it just because that's the wrong thing.
Now, you know, Hal Steinbrenner said earlier this month, or maybe the end of June, that it's on the players. Do you believe that the struggles the Yankees have had are on the players or the way the team was put together?
I think we have a good team. You know, I think we have a good team that just hasn't played up to their abilities at times. So I think there's, as I said, the collection of talent here that individually, you know, some have played better than others and some have lived up to their, you know, consistent norms, where others have struggled to find their way for some reason. And I don't think that's necessarily a roster construction thing. I think it's part of the baseball world that, you know, listen, you can't count on things even though you want to. You know, so you place your bets on good people that work their tail off, that have a great deal of talent, but despite all that, doesn't mean you'll get that payoff in the end. But as I said, we got two more months to obviously change that narrative, to push that disappointment behind us of, you know, subpar play for various positions, and, you know, get back on track. We're staring, don't take it the wrong way. I feel like this is more of a negative interview, which I understand you can ask questions on behalf of our fan base, which is a great conduit. So I salute, you know, that. But at the same time, you know, despite the more recent COVID outbreak, we are on the verge of pushing ourselves back into, you know, a postseason team. Mm-hmm. And we have come a long way from some really bad play. You know, and I say this obviously on the verge of, we're going to play, you know, a major league debut tonight with Luis Hill and some others. And we're missing out on Garrett Cole tonight. But prior to that, you know, we have now started to find our stride, win some series, a lot now in a row against some really good opponents and some maybe not so good opponents. But that's all that matters. And we've pushed ourselves back in the mix. We've had a trade deadline that, you know, we've added more talent in there that's going to serve us better. And we hope we can stay healthy and perform to our max. And we have 2 months to hit our stride and push our way through and, you know, then take our shot. And that's what we're looking forward to doing, rather than, you know, we've done talking through. I've been on enough shows now, you know, in the last 4 months, I've publicly said we stink, you know, when we have stunk. And now we've tried to do something about it, to rectify it, to adjust it, to improve upon it. And we're going to take our shot. And we think we have a great deal of talent here. We think we got some hungry guys that are excited about the opportunity before them. And the only way to change their narrative is to obviously string together enough wins here in the last 2 months to push that, you know, behind us, push that, you know, 4 months of, you know, underwhelming performance behind us and focus on, this is a different team today than it was before. And hopefully it's good enough.
All right, let's get to the most important question. You signing the cat or not, Cash?
the cat last night was about the only good thing that happened at the stadium. You know, that was an entertaining period of time. Hopefully the cat's okay. I haven't asked about it.
You didn't you didn't personally adopt the cat, though?
No, I'm allergic to cats, actually. So wouldn't be able to do that. So,
you know, one final thing. I said this on the air the day you made the trades, and, I mean, they really improved this team so much. I said the Yankees didn't make these trades to get to the playoffs. They feel they're going to get to the playoffs. You made these trades because you think that makes you even closer to a World Series team, right? You guys still think you're a World Series team.
Every year, Michael, if you can get yourself in the postseason, you're a World Series contender, and that's what it's all about. October is a completely different race than the six-month grind of a regular season. So once you punch that ticket and you're in, anybody who hits their stride at the right time there can run the table. So the first goal is to find a way to get in. Whether it's a wild card, obviously optimally you want to win the division, but if you can't and you're forced to go the wild card route, you know, it is what it is. Teams have gone on through the wild card to win a World Series two now several times over. So, mission one is to get in. And then after that, it's, they compare and say who's the this and who's the that and all that and who's the most likely to win versus not. But we've seen time and time again, obviously, baseball is a very difficult sport. And if you can play your best baseball at the right time, then, it can carry you, for that month. And so we just got to get ourselves in so we can take our shot.
Well, Brian, I thank you answering all the questions that the fans wanted to ask, and I appreciate it. And good luck moving forward. We appreciate you coming on.
You got it. Take care, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.